3, 2, 1.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 20s in 20 podcast, where we cover everything you need to know about your 20s in only 20 minutes. I'm Mallory Metz, and this is As Good As It Gets.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to another episode of 20s in 20. I'm Mallory Metz, and today I'm so excited for our topic. Today in our virtual studio, we have Danielle Byard-Jackson. Hello, how are you?
I'm well, how are you?
I'm doing so good. I'm so excited for today's topic. I've been dwelling on these questions. I'm ready to dive in. But first, why don't you go ahead, introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about who you are, your name, age, where you live, all that good stuff.
My name is Danielle Byard-Jackson. I am, oh God, I've never been asked my age on a media. I am 33. I am proud to be 33. And I am here in bright, sunny Tampa, Florida. And I'm a certified friendship coach, which often gets people looking at me like, what are you talking about? But so far, people are getting more open to the idea. So it's a fun ride.
As you mentioned, certified friendship coach, not a lot of people have heard of that term. So first and foremost, what goes into becoming that? And then really, what does that mean? What does your day-to-day look like, et cetera?
So it is relatively new, but whenever I push back and tell people, well, you can really get a coach for anything these days. Like if you think about it, I just learned that there's like a coach who can help you with phone addiction, with poor sleep. Like the New York Times just released something today about somebody doing a piece on how they hired somebody to help them sleep better. So there's really support now for virtually anything. For me personally, this was not something that I desired to do when I graduated high school. Like it wasn't a thing. As far as I know, I only know of like two other people who do what I do, but I was actually a high school English teacher when I graduated college from the University of Florida. And I always wanted to be a teacher. So I was teaching, it was amazing. And then I, you know, got promoted to be the head of the department. So I'm leading all these teachers. And so eventually I decided to leave the classroom. But while I was there, I noticed that my students who were 11th and 12th graders at the time, you know, they always have the drama. You hear it between classes. They would come to me after school and it was always something. So I made the mistake at the time of thinking this is just a teenage thing. I dismissed it as a young girl's thing, all the drama. So when I got into public relations, because right now I'm a publicist by day and a friendship coach by night, that's like my little tagline. But when I got into PR, I'm working with these women who are vice presidents of big companies. And when we're one-on-one doing media prep and things like that, we get to talking, and I'll discover that her friendship issue is not having any friends at all because she's so focused on advancing in her career. She's so business minded. She has no friends. And so that's when I realized, oh my gosh, this is a thing. No matter what season of life, you will always be trying to create and maintain female friendships. But what support do you have? There's virtually nothing. You go on Amazon, you look up books to be a better student, to be a boss in the boardroom, to be a good mom, a good parent, to be a good wife and girlfriend. There are so many resources. There's virtually nothing for friendship. And I always challenge people who are listening, you can go and look it up. And when you do, you're going to find things for kids. Books for kids on friendship. There's nothing for, I'm a grown person. I have no social connections. What do I do? There's nothing for, hey, I have friends, but I feel distant from them, or we're kind of going through this thing and it's weird. What do I do? Do I hang on to her just to say I have friends? There's nothing to help us unpack like the nuance of it. But what frustrates me most is that we talk about friendship from like a social perspective as opposed to a health perspective, because there's so much research that's showing literally loneliness is killing us. They were calling us the loneliness generation before we even went into lockdown. So it's been like a physical, mental, and emotional health issue. And so I say all that to say, you know, I went and got certified so I can have the technical skills to coach. I realized during the program that it's what I've been doing my whole life as an educator. But I wanted to have the certification behind my name. And then honestly, I went down the rabbit hole on my own. I studied some of the more popular studies and research. I researched for a year to put a book together about how to have hard conversations with your friends. I've conducted my own surveys. And so a lot of the specialty that I have is from my personal obsession, interest, research, and the skills to actually coach. I went to get certified. And so now it's kind of crazy. You know, the TikTok videos are blowing up. My favorite thing is getting comments on social media from women saying things like, wow, I didn't know this was a thing. Wow, nobody, taught me that before. Wow, I tried your tip with my friend and it totally worked. It turns out she's not mad at me at all. And so that just like gives me goosebumps.
I'm honestly so excited for this topic because I've moved to two different states without knowing anyone for work and building friendships. I feel like I'm getting the hang of it now, but I'm like, building friendships is one of the hardest things that after college, nobody tells you that it's gonna be hard and that it's gonna be different and then you're gonna have to put yourself out there in different ways. I remember when I moved to Dallas, literally Googling, how do I make friends in a new city? And it was like, join a sports league and get a dog. And I was like, I can't get a dog, so I joined a sports league. And like, that was it. But I've got a couple questions here I want to ask you, tips that people could implement into their lives today that we see other people face all the time. So first, I want to just kick off and say, you made a good point that like when you are Googling all of these tips, it always shows up research for kids and things like that. So I guess the first question I want to ask is really, how do friendships change in our different stages of life? This podcast is primarily focused around being in your 20s. I feel like that post-grad friendship is like the most crucial that you have to make, but would love to hear your perspective on how do our friendships change as we mature in age.
Yeah, so I really appreciate that question and this particular audience of those listening who are in their 20s, because research shows us that once you hit the age 25, your social network begins to diminish very quickly. Up until that point, it grows exponentially, but then around 25, it just decreases and decreases and decreases. And it actually makes sense. I like to share that in case anybody's thinking it's just me. It's not just you. And I hope you find some relief in that. It's totally normal. And if you think about it, it makes sense because of all the things that tend to develop around that time. People are moving across the country for their jobs. They're settling into, a serious relationship with a romantic partner. Some of them are electing to, have kids or to just focus on work right now. And so with all these other priorities that emerge and are suddenly clamoring for our attention, friendship often gets pushed to the margin. So that's one thing. We don't prioritize it like we used to. And then the second thing that tends to happen that makes adulting difficult when it comes to our friendships is that all of the social backdrops that once allowed us to form friendships, to have repeated exposure with strangers, to see people on a regular basis, have been removed. There's no recess that's been determined for you. You're not in the dorms where you can just walk down the hall and see somebody down the hall and just be like, hey, you want to go get pizza? Or hey, ha ha ha, and chat them up in the elevator. All of those social contexts are gone. And so no one's creating an environment anymore that's saturated with your peers, and you've got to figure it out oftentimes for the first time. So it makes sense that that tends to be the time period where we kind of put our head on a swivel, look around, and wonder what happened to my friends.
Why is it so hard to make friends as an adult? You mentioned in college you have those context clues where you can just like grab and go with someone, but what is it that makes it so difficult, regardless of whether or not you've moved to grow your circle more?
It is hard. And I think because I'm in this world, I'm always like, it's not hard, just do these things. But it's like, it is difficult. A lot of us are out of practice. We've, again, you might be sitting next to a classmate for an hour a day. And so you can do little things like, hey, do you mind if I borrow a pencil? Or you can give a look that's like, oh my God, this professor's crazy, right? Ha ha ha. And have those little bonding moments. All that's been snatched away. And so we don't have any practice of, gosh, if I don't have those shared spaces anymore, what do I do? We've never had to create them on our own. And so I think that's what makes it difficult is who's coming around and saying, here's some steps you can take. Here's where you can meet people. We don't have that. I mean, you do now because I'll drop my Instagram at the end of this, but we don't have the skill set. And so some of it is just simple, basic people skills. And I don't say that condescending, but we're already, it's like we're compounding the issue of how our environment makes it difficult to meet friends because a lot of us have some social issues that make it even worse. And so with kind of all those things, it does become really difficult. We get a bit of an ego when we become an adult. When you were five, it was nothing to find a girl who's wearing the same earrings as you in the sandbox and be like, I like your earrings. Do you want to be friends? But now we've had past experiences where we were let down or where we are over concerned with looking weird, looking desperate, looking clingy. Is that pushing into her space to be like, hey, I like you? And that's one of the tips that I give, once you do have an engaging conversation with somebody, to sometimes end it. If you feel like, man, I like her, to say it, like to literally be like, I like you. Because one of the concerns a lot of us have when we leave a conversation is if we did well, if we were liked, if we were funny. We all wonder that, even extroverts who seem very confident. And so to put somebody at ease by saying, I like you, and confirming it, it almost removes all the game playing of like, should I text her? Does she want to go to coffee again? And it just kind of invites the possibilities for a friendship by putting it out on the table. But again, at some age that we hit, we become a little self-conscious to those things and it becomes more difficult. But at the end of the day, I think it just takes courage and it just takes practice. And if you're willing to do those two things, then forming friendships at any age is totally possible.
What are some tips you have to meet friends when you move to a new city? I know the pandemic has changed things a lot. Like I said, I joined a volleyball league and met a lot of good friends through that, but not everybody has the option now to join a sports league or to be with other people. So would love to hear some tips you have for the listeners out there who maybe are struggling to meet people or struggling with those basic social skills.
First of all, Mallory, I applaud you for joining the sports group because that's one of those things people are like, oh, that's not me, or oh God, that seems like a huge thing. And for you to be like, well, I did it and it worked. You know what I mean? It's just so nice for your listeners to hear it. And I'm so glad that that worked out for you. So we actually, when I say we, I'm talking about, you know, the brand Friend Forward. It's our coaching group and we have virtual events and we do weekly lessons to teach you how to like navigate conflict, like all the things. But that brand is called Friend Forward and the website is betterfemalefriendships.com. The reason I'm plugging it is because we literally earlier this week just launched an ebook and it's about how to make friends as an adult during a pandemic. And it's tips, scripts, strategies, mindsets that get in the way. It's literally everything. It's $5 on Amazon. I'll give you a couple tips now that I think could be helpful. The first, I always like to address mindset first. So at the risk of sounding life coachy, it really does start there because it doesn't matter if I give you hacks and tips and things to do. If your mental framework is totally wrong, then it doesn't even matter. So the very first thing I think we need to get right is the fact that making new friends and meeting new people are not the same thing. A lot of us are like, I want to make friends, and you're trying to figure out where do I meet strangers to start with. But who said you have to start from scratch? The definition of making friends refers to the art of cultivating something meaningful with another person. Why does that have to start with a stranger? For a lot of us, we're sitting on prime opportunities. People we know who are friends of friends or neighbors or that colleague who seems kind of cool, but she's not like our friend. We're sitting on a host of people who we've dismissed as being too young, too clingy, too nerdy, not nerdy enough. We have tons of people in our social network who we've dismissed as options. And I always like to say to start there. But if you believe that like, oh, all these people don't work, I need something new. I mean, yeah, it's possible, but I always like to start with the people who you're already relatively familiar with because that's some breeding ground to get things flowing. That can be the next time you see them, extending the conversation for just 2 more minutes. I've even given the tip before. I know it sounds random, but you know, if there's a friend of a friend and you guys have like seen each other before, you've been to parties together before, but you've never really had one-on-one time, why not, you know, take a picture of something that reminds you of that time, of that party, of that funny thing, and send it to them and say, okay, I know this is super random, but I saw this thing today when I was at Target and it reminded me of that time that all of us did that thing. Remember that thing? Yes, it was hilarious, right? Well, anyway, I know it's random, but I had to send it to you. I thought it was so funny. Yes, it's random, but I want you to pretend that you're on the receiving end of that. How flattering somebody thought of you. How flattering that somebody was like, oh, I thought of you and I wanted to send you this. And they took time to acknowledge you and say, you were on my mind. The average person feels good to know that we were seen and we were thought of. And so a lot of times when we flip that around, it's like, oh, well, actually, yeah, I guess that would be kind of cool. Like they did it first. That feels nice. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So start with the people who are already in your circle. When it comes to totally meeting people random, you know, I know we do roll our eyes at the idea, but just like you said, joining these interest groups, it sounds kind of like, oh my gosh, really? But the thing that I love so much about interest groups is that everybody's there for the same reason. So you don't have to worry as much about that fear of rejection. Because we all elected to be here because we want to meet new people. And so it kind of removes the awkwardness, in my opinion, because all those people said, yeah, I want to meet friends too. And so that's one of the benefits. The other benefit of an interest group is they tend to meet regularly. And one of the key ingredients of building a friendship is repeated exposure. That's why a lot of us end up becoming friends with our coworkers, because I see you 40 hours a week. And so the benefit of these interest groups is they're meeting every week or every month. And sometimes we'll go one time and be like, man, that was awkward, I don't know. And I always encourage my clients, you are going at least 2 times, at least, because that gives you an opportunity to refer to something that the person said during the first encounter. So let's say I go to an interest meeting and I overhear a girl say her dog is sick. The next time I go, I can say, hey, I know last week you mentioned your dog is sick. You know, is everything okay? But it gives us something to build on. And I cannot do that if I'm dismissing people every time I meet them because, oh, her humor's off. Well, the vibe wasn't organic. I don't know. She just wasn't my type. We are just dismissing people because we're secretly auditioning for our bestie. And it's going to, I think, really cut us off from some opportunities. And so I just think those are some quick ways where we can just kind of get things flowing. But I think we have to remember that it does take time. Yes, that it will be awkward. Push through that so that it's not anymore. And you start to build some familiarity. Once we accept all those things, instead of being immobilized by the idea of what if it's awkward? It probably will be. Let's get it going. You know, I think changing our mindset like that, I think kind of opens us up to some new opportunities.
To kind of pivot and take this in another direction, you know, as we mature, as we grow older, our friendships, we outgrow a little bit. I want to get your perspective on, like, why do friendships start to end the older you get? You know, you mentioned at 25, friends start to drop off or your circle starts to really narrow in. Why is that?
A lot of it is life changes and who you have become. It really is that simple. I mean, you at 25 is not you at 18. And so she probably enjoys new things. She has a new worldview. She values different things in her friendships now. She has a different idea of what a Friday night is than what she did at 18. All those things are different. And so the same way you've evolved, those people in your circle have too. And sometimes we don't grow together. And, you know, at the risk of oversimplifying it, that tends to be the root of a lot of our changes in our group. I do hear people say, well, I found out, you know, the people who are really there for me and those who are not. And that could be a factor for some people, sure. But I think it's less about of like time exposes true friends. And I think it's more about, you know, I turned to these interests and now these things really light me up and I'm focused on this. And hey, I'm focusing on growing my career and these two people are too. And it's fun to have somebody to talk to about the struggles of trying to, you know, advance in our jobs. And mm-hmm. I like being with them because I like talking about this thing and I feel seen and understood when we talk about this thing. And that just could be totally different from the experience you were looking for at 19. That wouldn't have been of interest to you at all. For me, I know that I made a lot of mom friends when I became a mom. I was not interested before. But now, you know, I do find myself talking about my son a lot and how he's developing. And so to hear from other moms and their experiences and to feel safe saying, man, I really struggle today, you know, but I might not feel comfortable saying that with my entrepreneur friends who look like they have it all together and they're just like killing it in business. I'm probably not going to talk about like, man, today was really hard because of trying to balance work with my son. I'm probably going to reserve that for my mom friends. And so maybe I feel a little more seen by them right now because that's what I really need right now. That's what I look forward to talking about. That's what I'm seeking some outside insight on. I think it also shifts because there's a study by Robin Dunbar that people quote a lot who are in this space, and I'll just give you the gist of it. The idea is that we only have space for 5 close friendships anyway. And so the whole like, oh, what happened to my friends? Well, you probably shifted your focus and you can only have the mental cognitive capacity to sustain 5 close friendships anyway. And so if you're trying to run with this pack of 15, at the end of the day, if we're being honest, you were only really close to like 3 of them. You weren't close to all 15, but you guys had a fun group dynamic and you were squad goals and did your thing together. And that's great. But really, you really trusted and vibed with like 2 or 3.
Danielle, every podcast I end with talking about pet peeves relative to the subject we've been talking about. If you have 1, 2, 3, would love to hear them.
I think one would be, I have more compassion for it now, but hearing women talk about how they cannot do female friendships and then go into a list of all the reasons women are awful is kind of annoying. Now that I'm in the coaching space, I understand that's coming from a place of pain, from poor experiences, internalized misogyny. And I have sympathy now. And I've worked with women like that. I think it's a pet peeve when I see articles and stuff about like chemistry and friendship is just easy. Like I can go 5 years without talking to my friend and we just pick back up where we left off. I'm like, oh, really? Like you guys are 30 now and you're talking again for the first time in 5 years? And I mean, like, I think that speaks to chemistry. You guys have chemistry when you talk, but you can't possibly know me if we're talking every 3 years.
All right, Danielle, this was really great. I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on. Thanks for making time to join me. I think this is a great topic. Honestly, I can't wait to listen to your podcast. I find all of this so interesting, especially because it's something I've struggled with. It's something I've overcame. Loved it. I'll link everything in the description below so people can find you.
Thank you for having me, Mallory. This was fun.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, go to our Instagram, follow us, give us a like, give us a shout out, tell your mom, tell your grandma, and leave us a comment. Thanks for joining us.